choice which way to jump. Well, thank God I jumped to the left. And when I did, he missed me by a foot and ran over my guitar and crushed it. You know, sometimes there's things in life we are not in control of. I'm going to talk about the things we can control, and I don't mean control in a wrong sense. But before I get into the message, let's go back a moment to the Garden of Eden, okay? Adam and Eve, before they sinned, lived a life free of trouble. There was no trouble there. There was nothing to control. You know what that tells me? God did not design us to have to deal with stress and anxiety and trouble. He didn't want Adam and Eve to fall. Think about this. They didn't have to be concerned about, number one, the temperature. That's perfect temperature all the time. How many sometimes get concerned about the temperature, inside, outside? How about this? They didn't have to be concerned whether it rained or not, because it never rained. It was a mist that came up. They didn't have to be concerned about food or the price of food. I mean, even at our age, which is not real old, still going to the store 2 or 3 times a week. And how many know what I'm talking about? They didn't have to do that. How about this? They didn't have to worry about a vacation. They probably lived a life kind of like what it's going to be in heaven, kind of a working vacation, because we are going to have things to do in heaven. The Bible tells us. So it's like a working vacation. How about this? They didn't have to be concerned about pressure from the outside. They didn't have to worry about shelter, electricity, power outages. They didn't have to be concerned about doctors. I mean, you try to make an appointment now with a new doctor, it's almost impossible. What am I going to talk about? Didn't have to stand in line at the drugstores to get medicine. I tell you, they had it made, didn't they? They didn't have to worry about bills. Not Buffalo Bills, bills coming in the mail. They didn't have to worry about schools, getting their kids up to school every day and the conflicts and things. You see, they didn't have the trouble until they sinned. Now, can you imagine? We can't really imagine on the screen of our imagination how Adam and Eve felt the moment they sinned and the moment God scooted them out of the garden into a place where there was no control in them. Like, first of all, he said, the ground is going to yield weeds. You can't control where the weeds are coming. Second of all, there's going to be thunderstorms and there's going to be all types of things. So they did not understand what life was when it was out of control. See, the fall changed everything. But you know, Jesus came to restore everything they lost. Now, we want Jesus to fix the world and restore the world, but he's not going to. He said, I'm bringing into the world a kingdom that's going to spread around the world, because the world and all of its things are going to pass away. He's making a new world that's free of trouble. But the question is tonight, how do we live in a world that is out of control? I mean, just look at the news. Out of control. How do we live as Christians to do that? We're going to talk about that tonight. Well, I'm going to go to the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. This is one of the final words that Paul was saying to the Ephesian elders and different ones. He had lived a long time before he wrote this. And he gives us a few clues how to live when life is out of control. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. save that the Holy Ghost warns me that in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me. Now this is Paul's advice to us, because he lived this. Paul, when he went to these cities, I tell you, they were out of control. They came against him. He could not control what happened to him in these cities. But this is what he said. But none of these things move me. I'll say it again. None of these things move me. How about that hymn? I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. How many know that hymn? Not too many. Okay. That's a real one. None of these things move me. There's a lot of stuff that can still move me. There's a lot of things I don't like when I don't feel I'm in control. And even as a believer serving God many years, there are certain things that when it happens to me, I want to grab it and control it and not let it affect me. It's like with, you know, men, how men and women work things out. You know, a woman wants to talk about it for 45 minutes and get some resolve. A man, after he hears something for 10 minutes, so that's easy. 1, 2, 3, it's done. But I have found out that neither one is perfectly right in its execution, because the man can become too hasty and the woman can become too many facts. So a blend, yeah, we won't go there. But a blending of that brings wisdom and strength. Amen. Because if you get married, you've got to deal with things that will try to control the marriage. And when you have children, you know, a child grows up and he's in school, he's maybe causing trouble or something. Things get out of our control. Also this, I can't let it move me. Doesn't mean I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. How many of you know God didn't make us robots?
Amen.
We do feel deeply things that we feel like are out of our control. Then he said this, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Then he said that I might finish my course with joy. How many want to finish your course with joy?
Amen.
How many want to finish it with joy? I do. Oh my goodness. Joy becomes a lot more precious as we get older, because it's still our strength. Because we can't rely on our career, our bank account, the car breaks down, the internet goes off, the computer breaks, friends grow old, pass on, leave, move. See, it's joy knowing I'm going to stand with him in that day. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Turn to somebody and say, you are a testimony of God's grace. Do you realize that each person in here is a miracle?
Amen.
Do you realize each person in here is a miracle that's beyond our comprehension? The greatest miracle in the Bible is not blind eyes opening or lame walking. It's being born again. That's the greatest miracle. If you don't think so, go to somebody in the store and just preach to them and see if they get saved on the spot. They could. The greatest miracle is the grace of God found us. And Paul says, you know what? I've got to focus, because things are going to try to move us. I've never seen a day in my life where things, Brother Mike, are trying to move everything and change everything in the world. Things are happening so fast. And if we're not careful, we're going to try to control something we cannot control. I don't want to be moved except closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to give you four resolves Paul came up, and we just mentioned him, about control. First thing he said, as I just read, none of these things move me. If you read the whole context what he's talking about, he's talking about persecutions, he's talking about imprisonment, he's talking about being beaten. Oh my goodness, how many want to go to another city and be beaten? How many want to go to another city and be stoned? How many, you know, he said, listen, I know these things are going to happen, but I'm not moved. I tell you what, I've got to meet him after I meet Jesus. I've got to meet this man, amen, that said, these things don't move me. How many want to get to a place in your Christian life where nothing moves you? Nothing. And even things, even people, even situations that seem to control, guess what? I'm not moved by that.
Amen.
How about this? Neither count I my life dear to myself. Now, what does that mean? You don't love yourself. He's not saying that. He's saying this. My life here isn't about how much I can get, how much I can put in the can and sit on the can. My life here is not about building bigger barns. It's not about people to know my name. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than fame untold. I'd rather have Jesus to say my name than to live in earthly fame. Many people on that day, famous on the earth, will not be known in heaven. And many people the earth knew nothing about will reign as kings with Jesus Christ. It's just astounding to think about that. Then he says, this is how I resolve control. I want to finish my course. What's your course? The will of God is your course. To know Christ is our course. To be a servant in the house of God is our course. To obey the word of God and do the word is our course. To love unconditionally is our course. Amen. To be a living sacrifice is our course. Finish it with joy. And then he says, to testify of the gospel. Can you ever think of a time when the world needs the gospel? The good news. Paul had these resolves. Now I'm going to give you five things we can't control. How many want these? You can't control these things. Number one, you can't control what others say. How many of us sometimes we like to? But I was at a car dealer yesterday getting the car inspected, and I was waiting, and apparently the man was on the phone with this lady that was cussing him out, because they forgot to put the inspection sticker on the inside. He was just being so kind and gentle, and she just kept cussing him out. And you know, when he hung the phone up, I could tell he just felt like he had been beat up. You can't control what others say. Second thing is, you can't control what others do. You can't control it. What they do and what they don't do. Just recently, I was trying to say hello to a gentleman, and everything, he just ignored me. I can't control what you do, sir. But I'm not stopping because you don't even want to talk to me. I can say it to them, being friendly. You know, hey, I can't control it. I'm not offended, and I don't feel rejected because I don't have the problem. I said, I don't have the problem. I'm going to say it again. I don't have the problem. You see, if Jesus would have been intimidated or feared rejection from people, he would have never went to his own. He would have never went to his own hometown of Nazareth where they said, oh, who is he? Isn't he the son of Mary and Joseph? He knew he'd be rejected, but he still went. How do you know we still have to go? Because the other person's got the problem, but you can't control people. How about this? We can't control what other people think. I said we can't control what other people think.
Amen.
Don't worry about what people think of you. What about what God thinks? God loves us. Don't run a popularity contest. Amen. God is your portion of life. God, you keep your heart right, God will promote you. God is the one that brings up and takes out. Listen, you know, if people don't like you, they don't like you. I wish to God all Christians liked each other. They don't. Say it again. I wish to God all Christians liked each other. No, they don't. But, and see, that's such a carnal plane to live on, whether I like another Christian or not. Hey, I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, you love Jesus, I like you. I'm not in a position to decide whether I like you or not. If I do that, then what I have done is put God in a position of stopping me from being promoted. God will not promote ugly.
Amen.
I said, God don't like ugly. Because see, I got me some angels watching over. Don't worry about what other people think. Fourth thing, what other people feel about you. Oh my goodness. Remember that song, Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Remember that song? So you're too young, you know. You know what? Feelings have gotten us into a lot of trouble. Because feelings, honey, can be wrong. And feelings can be, what'd you say? Up and down. How many of you have been on a roller coaster? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't feel like I love you anymore. I thought we were beyond feelings of love. I thought love was a commitment.
Amen.
I thought love was from the heart. I thought love was self-sacrificing. How many people in their marriage, I'm out of love with you. Well, get back in love. I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. It's a decision. You know, a great guitar player wrote, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone because you have got before God and let God tenderize your heart and remove the self that's evaluating everything. Listen, if God so loved the world we didn't even want it, then we can love each other and not allow negative feelings to come in.
Amen.
I don't let nobody bombard me with negative stuff about other believers or people in the church and criticize. Get away from me. I'm not doing it. Because that's down the highway of gossip and wrong. I don't do it. I don't receive. Listen. Anyway, I'm moving on. I'm going to have that on my Spotify so if people start trying to, you know, do it, I'll just play that. Well, let's just listen to this song. Feelings. You see, we don't encourage one another. We're to take the boat out of our own eye or the beam. Amen. Things we also can't control is most of life's circumstances. There's not a whole lot of circumstances we can control. But what can we control? Ourselves. Self-control. We'll talk about that in a moment. I don't like all the circumstances happening in the world, in nations. I don't like the circumstances. But you know what? My job is to control me so I can be a servant of Christ and not get so taxed down with the negative things coming upon the earth that Jesus already told us about. Now, I want to give you some things you can control. How many want these? First of all, I can control my response. Oh, this side, this hand here is called reactatory. This over here is called response. Guess what? I ask you tonight, which one is more dominant in our life? React to everything? Maybe respond, because respond has to do with more of a peace, calm, resolve, based on the wisdom of God in the present. A reactatory is simply the brain short-circuiting and getting rid of resolve and wisdom and any type of logic. So when I'm reactatory, that's why many times anger and rage come with that, because it's stored in the part of the brain that causes reactatory, voluntary and involuntary responses. Have you ever been doing good and something is mentioned or someone is mentioned and there's a quick response out of nowhere? I want to respond to things. Have you arrived, Pastor? No, I have not. But I know this. I want the reactatory arm to get shorter and the responsive one to get longer.
Amen.
How can we walk in peace if I react to everything that's said, everything I hear, and even react to my own shortcomings and issues? Listen, you can have a perfect heart towards God, but imperfect behavior. God sees our heart. That's why that's the most important thing in our Christian life, is to be a person after God's heart. Because you and I are not perfect, so we might have imperfect behavior, which the Holy Spirit will help to shape. But if I don't start with a heart after God, I'll never get the behavior I should have. You know what Paul said to Timothy? That thou knowest how to behave in the house of God. In other words, he's saying your heart is towards God, but in the house of God, God's shaping us into a behavior that's like Christ. Second thing you can control, I control, is my attitude. the beautiful attitudes, the beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. That's an attitude, you know. Purity's an attitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, you know, that's an attitude. Blessed are those in hunger and thirst. That's an attitude. I have shifted my choice to an attitude of seeking after God. My attitude. How many, when you were growing up, your parents or one of them, or you got a bad attitude? Anybody? Am I the only one? Third thing is my perspective. I can control that. I can control how I perceive things, how I process things, and how I function in life. You know, everybody thinks, you know, the world is going to solve all our issues. That all of a sudden the world is going to come to our aid. No, that's not my perspective. My perspective is, he's coming soon. The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. The church that Jesus paid for. My perspective is, the cure is in the cup that Jesus drank. And the only cure for man's souls is the Word of God, the presence of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ. And medicine can do a lot of things, and doctors can keep us running, but they cannot save the soul. My perspective is, God is the only one that I need to focus on for my life's perspective. You know what the Bible is? 66 books of God's perspective. Isn't it interesting, Pastor Deb, that God left really nothing out about the ills of humanity? It's all out there. People want to go to the drugstore and get a novel, read the Bible. Murder, rape, incest, fornication, it's all in there. God allowed that. I was praying one time, why did you allow all that in your word? Because, see, without a contrast, we can't understand the beautiful picture that God has. So he left the ills of man in the Bible to contrast how beautiful and gracious he is and his kingdom is. And to show us, no matter if you're a king or a ruler, we can fall into something the world has trapped us in. My perspective. And the other thing I can control is how much I want to be like Christ. My Christ-likeness. How much do we want to be like Jesus? How much of our life is tied into a self-examination and a self-awareness of, have I grown this year to be more like Christ? I'm not talking about growing in your ministry. I'm not talking about growing in the hours you serve. I'm talking about more like Christ. Am I more like Christ, sir, to my wife than I was? Ma'am, am I more like Christ to my husband? Am I more like Christ to my children? Am I more like Christ to my family? Am I more like Christ to people and the church that Jesus died for? You see, I can control that through a system of not just floating down the river like a dead fish in my Christianity. I have a struggle, like Paul said, the thing I want to do is the thing I don't do. Who shall deliver me from this? He said, I thank God that Jesus Christ will. Paul never said he was perfect, but he said this, one thing I do, forgetting those times I missed it, and I should not have raised my voice, I should not have been angry, I should not have struck the rock twice like Moses, I should not have judged that person, I should not have spoken that thing. He said, you're behind me because I'm reaching forth now to be somebody different. And I've always said this for years. When people leave our presence, did they feel Jesus Christ in us or not? Did they sense the presence of Jesus Christ with us? Peter did. Peter had so much of Christ, his shadow healed. You know, we can control if we want to be more like Christ. And here's a little highway to travel on for that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. This is the highway I must travel on if I want to be like Christ. For I am meek and lowly in heart. There's no place for celebrity Christians and preachers or anybody. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. You know? Like I took Michael, Tony, and Mike out for coffee, or they took me out to Duncan, which, you know, I wouldn't mind, but anyway. And we're talking face to face. Do you think it's a coincidence that Moses was the meekest man? When God says, I resist the proud, listen, y'all, no coincidence. God raised him up. He said, I'm only going to connect with that which I am. Moses was meek. Jesus, meek, connect. So, I can control how meek I want to be. Oh, Pastor, if I'm meek, doesn't that mean weak? Oh, it does to the world. Because the world says, avenge yourself. The world says, don't let anybody, you know, just slap you on the cheek. You better fight. And Jesus said, no. If you want to be meek, turn the cheek. And if someone asks you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles. See, back then, the Romans could come up to any citizen and say, here, carry my gear for a mile. They didn't, they'd go to prison. And so Jesus said, no, walk 2 miles. Show humility and meekness, you see. So I'm back to this. God only identifies with that which is like himself in us. And if there's more pride than meekness, then I'll know God afar off. And every time I let the Holy Spirit melt my heart, And I allow a humility and a meekness to come because I'm more like Jesus Christ. That's how I get closer. Prayer, sure. Worship, sure. But still, you've got to have that meek spirit. And I think, Pastor Deb, when we see Jesus Christ, when we stand right in front of Him, we're going to be shocked at the meekness and humility. Because the Bible said He's the Lamb of God. That when He was reviled, He didn't revile. You see a precious lamb. You take it, you slice it, and kill it. The lamb doesn't fight. The burning bush experience that a lot of believers have never had, which to me is a depth of relationship with Christ, has not happened. Because we've not taken off the shoes of self-righteousness and self-achievement and walked with a meekness and a grace. But God is calling all of us to that burning bush. Because He's heard the cries of the afflicted. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord after King Uzziah died, high and lifted. And the angels cry out, holy. And God spoke to me and goes, Lord, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Well, that'll preach today. And God understood. You see, God always will meet us at the place of being honest and truthful with angel came and touched his lips. He said, okay, now who am I going to send? He said, send me, Lord. What God did was make Isaiah like Him. God's word is pure. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. God's word has been purified. And after Isaiah's lips were touched, God, like I said with Moses, will only identify with that which is like Him. Now his lips were like Him, and God identified, and Isaiah wrote about our Savior. Isaiah 53, about His passion. Isaiah 16, 61, about the glory of the church. Isaiah is what a great book. Because, see, God is looking for people that are like Him, not perfect, but they're like Him by choice. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:7, and I think Pastor Deb mentioned this. We have to remember we have a treasure inside. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I know, get caught up with our earthen vessels. Lose weight, get your hair cut, get your hair colored, get your cataracts fixed, take your vitamins, don't go to the ice cream place too much. No. See, I don't really need any scales. All I gotta do is try to put them pants on. Like last year, they ain't fit. I don't need no scales. Come on, ladies, you know, dress and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So what we do is say, "Oh, I just need some new stuff. Yeah, another size." Come on. But I love it when I lose weight and I put them pants on that I couldn't wear 6 months ago. See, I have an earthen vessel I have to take care of. But my earthen vessel is not the treasure. It's a gift from God, but it's going back to the dust. From dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. The real treasure, we're supposed to take care of, the real treasure is Christ in us. It's the Spirit of God in us. So He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There is power with this treasure. Power what? Power not to let ourselves be controlled by outward things. may be of God. I mean, I don't want to have to go through another college spiritual course to understand that without God I can't do anything. I don't want to have to go through another session for God to convince me that I need thee. How about this hymn? I need thee every hour. I mean, I think at this time in our lives and where the church is across the world before His coming, we need to be singing, I need thee every hour. Not just at once a week. We are troubled on every side. Things you can't control. Yet not distressed. Boy, Paul, thank you for this, because there's been times in my Christian journey I've been troubled and I've been distressed. And waking up in the middle of the night, wondering what am I going to do? Anybody out there? Anybody have deal with that stress at times? We are perplexed. Perplexed means you don't have a clue what to do, where to go, what to say. You don't have the answer. No one on TV gave you the answer. You don't. You are perplexed, which basically means that you have stopped in a place of despair. And there's no energy to go forward because you don't know what to do. I've been there. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And this is the key here. We're going to close. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What does that mean? Well, Jesus already died. What does he say, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus? I'll tell you what I believe it is. It's not his death on the cross. It's his death to himself in the garden. Because he won in the garden. He said, not my will. That was death. That was death to his self-life. That I'm not going to call the angels. We're always bearing in our body the understanding that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We don't hear it preached much. But there are things we need to die to. There are things that will cause us to stumble if we don't. Things that happened 10 years ago now cause shipwreck. So Paul said, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. There is a dying, there is a cross. But I have found out this. When I embrace that rugged cross, life comes out of me. And when I don't, self rules. And self almost took me to hell. So I don't get warm and fuzzy about my self life. Because it's not really life. So morning by morning, when I approach God, I take the cross. I say, Jesus, how you came into my life is still a wonder to me. It's still remarkable. The times that I didn't want you, the times I knew I should. Mercy found me. And I embrace that cross because that's where my life is. And when I do that, I can get up and press towards the day, they will trouble me no more. Because life is out of control. There's one that holds you in the palm of his hand. Don't you love the same? Disappointment happens to all of us. Expectations that don't happen happen to all of us. But don't give up. It's not over yet. I said it's not over yet.
Amen.
Don't let the things you can't control control you. Every morning, sun comes up. There's new mercies. And I encourage you. Expand your time with God. Even if it's in the car going wherever. I encourage you to become like Moses and Isaiah. Allow the meekness of Christ to overtake us so that we can relate to who God is. God only connects to those who's like him. You know why he connects with us as believers? Because when we get saved, Christ is in us, and he connects to the Christ that's in us. And then we begin to develop the Christ in us, in our own nature, and we become like Jesus. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God wonderful? Come on, stand up. Let's give God a praise tonight. Praise God. Come on, give him a real shout tonight. Praise God. Praise God. If you're watching tonight, I want you to know the world is out of control. But guess what? God is not.
Amen.
And God's not shaken by wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences. God's not up there taking medication for anxiety. That's all. He's got a big plan. He's got a big plan for you. And if you've never accepted Christ, I want to pray with you right now for you to receive Jesus. And if you want it, just close your eyes and say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died and rose the third day. I accept you tonight as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I accept you as my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, you can contact us here at the Rock Church Petersburg. 804-733-3973. May God bless you and keep you always. Amen.